Lord, man, it's good to see everybody. We have some fun today. You want to have fun?
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. If church stops being fun, you have my permission to stop coming. If Heaven's Invasion stops being fun, okay, I'm not speaking about any other church from here. If this stops being fun, you don't have to come, because I won't go. I'll be the first one to say, hey, let's go to Starbucks or something, right? Oh, my goodness. Thank you, Lord. Well, got some good stuff. We're going to share some things tonight and see what the Lord has on His mind. Whatever it is going to be awesome, because He is. Amen?
Amen.
Good stuff. So we've been talking about, over the past few weeks, I think last week I shared with you that little parable that Jesus told about how the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. Remember that? And He said when you plant it, it grows up and becomes really one of the bigger trees or shrubs of the garden, right? Big thing. And so what God showed me in that parable, the interpretation of that parable is that it represents connection. It represents a structure, that this manifestation of the kingdom has real structure to it. And so what I started to share with you last week was, what does that look like? What's the structure? Everything in the kingdom of God is based on relationship.
Yes.
And so I mentioned to you that there are three vital relationships that everybody must have if they're going to succeed in life. Who can remember? Which is the first one?
Counselor.
Yay. Second one?
Mentor.
And peer.
Whoa!
I'm blown away. We actually had a half dozen people remember. That's crazy. It's like, wow, they're starting to really get it. Exactly. These three relationships are so vital for every person to be able to be, become successful, become all that you're meant to be, and all that you're meant to do that God gave, created you to do. And so, we talked about it last week. I'm not going to go over it. Go back, go on our website and watch it. All right. So that was one of the shortest messages I've preached. Let me tell you. It was like 12 and a half minutes. It was a record. So it won't take you much time. So today I want to kind of move this to the next level and talk a little bit more about how to have a great relationship. I'm not a relationship coach, usually. All right. But I want to share some things with you. And so what we've been talking about is the environment, right? Isn't it interesting that when Jesus used examples of the kingdom, He used two examples that require a good environment in which to thrive, right? The first one we talked about was the yeast and the dough, and you've got to have the right environment for that yeast to thrive and transform that flour into dough that's going to do something for you, right? And the same with the mustard seed. It's got to have the right environment as well to grow into all that it's supposed to grow in. And so the habitat, right, the environment that we live in, give me one word that describes the environment that we live in. Let's see how creative you are.
Can you be in the church or out of the church?
I'm just saying, the environment that God has designed for us to live in, can you give me one word to describe it?
Glory.
Glory, that's a good one. I like that. Because glory equals Jesus, so that's good. What else?
Love.
Love, there you go. Yeah, anything else?
Joyous.
All right, what else? Anything?
Fellowship.
Peace. I mean, these are all great words, and none of them are wrong, right? I just like to sum it up in this way. The environment that we're created to live in is heaven. Right? Heaven on earth. We have been created to live in heaven on earth. Now, the problem, of course, is that we don't always have that, in terms of reality. We may have it in here, right? You all understand, right, that this is the place where you got to guard your environment. I had a good time talking to the folks at Gary's church yesterday about, being an environmental protection agent. Seriously. You got to guard the environment that you've been given in your heart, right? And so this environment that we have, that the Lord has given to us, is the perfect environment for the development of relationships, and especially the relationships that we need to succeed, right? I hate when people do this, but turn to your neighbor and say, you need good relationships. Yeah, once in a while, you know, I gotta revert to the old style. Don't you hate those guys that go, hit your neighbor or slap your neighbor? I'm like, wait a minute. Well, all this abuse happening in the church. It's just wrong. So the environment, I love this, right? I don't know if any of you remember, but you know, we give out this little booklet here called Setting Boundaries Through Declarations. And it's a foundational book, hopefully, that we have, you know, put out there for everybody so that you get yourself positioned and get yourself protected, right? But the back of it, there's this couple of pages here that talk about us as a tribe. And maybe you missed that, but it's really cool. You should read it sometime. Not just because I wrote it, because it's good stuff, all right? And part of what it says, it talks about the culture that we have or that we're looking to cultivate as a family. All right, would you be interested if I just really briefly ran this down for you? Right? Our culture of honor talks about identity. We believe that we are who Father God says we are. Any label or description of us that he does not agree with is a what? It's a lie. Any label or description of you that God doesn't agree with, that's a lie. Alright? And so we got to reject that and replace it with the truth. Okay? Now, the next one says acceptance. We choose to see each other as he does. I like that. We choose to see each other the way he does. Does he see anybody in a bad light? Come on. Does he? No, of course not. Right? We don't look at people according to physical appearance or behavior. We accept each other as he does, fully and without reservation. That's good stuff right there, right? Approval. We celebrate each other's uniqueness, gifting, and calling. And we're committed to helping each other become all he created us to be and to do all he created us to do. And that's a big part of what we'll be talking about tonight. The last one is belonging. We choose to love one another as he loves us, blessing and serving one another with joy. We're committed to learning how to live together as his royal family, whose joyful commission is spreading the goodness of our Father's kingdom wherever he leads us. That's some good stuff right there. So I encourage you, if you haven't picked up one of these in a while, you lost yours, there's a few of them in the back, you can grab that. That's the culture. That's the things that are important to us. That's how we want to do life. Right? We want to do life like that. And we've all had experiences of life that don't look like that, right? Maybe it was your family. Maybe it was your neighborhood. Maybe it was your job. Maybe it was school. I don't know. But in many places, we don't have that kind of environment to enjoy because it hasn't been established there yet. They don't have that culture. And so, when Paul talked about it, he talked about it in Ephesians 3. I'm going to read this really quickly. It says, "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God." So yes, that's the environment. You know, rooted and grounded, that mustard seed has to be planted in an environment where it can thrive. And that's what Paul just described here. It's how we've been rooted and grounded in love. And you know what? I love the fact that when Paul describes the height, length, you know, length and breadth and all that measurements of love, he describes it in the context of all the saints. He says that you may comprehend with all the saints what is all those dimensions. You know what that means? I can't experience all of the love of God by myself. I need you to be a conduit, a means through which I experience something of God's love that I could not have experienced without you in my life. Now that's pretty heavy. That God actually, he actually expects us to love each other like that. To love each other in such a way that people get to experience something of the Father's heart and his love through me, for you, and through you, for me. Am I making any sense?
Yes.
Isn't that cool? That this is how he designed it? And what's so awesome about it is Paul gives us, he gives us the end result of all of that. Being rooted and grounded in love and intentionally coming into a community where we get to love one another unconditionally like he loves us, right? But the end result, he says, is that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. What? I mean, this is amazing because what he's saying is that, yes, I'm full with God, right? We are all filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, it's like you can't get any more filled, but you know what you don't have and what I don't have? I don't have an experience of all that fullness. Has anybody here, come on, have you experienced the full, complete fullness of, you know, of God in your life? I haven't. And we can't until we come together in this environment and actually see the love of God being released through each of us, for each of us. Right? That's the key. It's so amazing. And I love it. Because he makes it so easy for us to understand that this is what he's after. He's after a people who really want his fullness. And if you want that, well, you got to do it in the context of a family, right? You just can't do it with outside of that. So how does this actually work? Well, he goes on to explain it in Ephesians 4, right? Which is a chapter that talks about, you know, the apostle, prophet, and all that stuff, right? But in verse 15, he says, "But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him," into Jesus, "who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love." Now listen, you know, Paul likes words. He really likes words. And he, you know, but all of this stuff is so important that we understand, right? He's basically saying that the only way that you and I are going to grow up into the full maturity of sons and daughters of God, the only way that's going to happen is within the context of the connections that God has for us. You know, Lone Ranger Christianity is illegal. It really is. God never created anybody to grow and develop in isolation. It's impossible. So he's brought us together in this awesome mix of family so that we could actually grow up into everything that God wants for us to experience of Jesus. Right? The full maturity of being a son or daughter of God, being like Jesus in every way. The only way that can happen is in the context of the connections. Connections are where the action is. Somebody, you need to write that down. Sorry. Connections are where the action is in the body of Christ and the kingdom of God. How do I know that? Because Paul says that the body is fitted and held together
by what every joint supplies. Every joint is supplying something. Now, what's a joint? In your body, right? Think about it. You know, you got joints in your hand. You know, your fingers are jointed, and the tip of my finger is joined to the middle of my finger, which is joined to the bottom of my finger, which is joined to my hand.
Foot bones connected.
Exactly. Let's all sing along. But that's what we're talking about, right? We're talking about places of connection in the body. Now, in the spiritual body of Christ, those connections are not just places that where two pieces of meat hang together, like in your body, right? These are actually places where God has sovereignly released supply, which means that when I connect with you, I get to release something into your life that you need. And when you connect with me, you get to do that for me as well. It's at those places of connection, those joints, that there is a supply that every single one of us needs in order to grow up into Christ and become mature. Does that make any sense? You see how that works, right? So how come we have such poor relationships?
Trust.
Why do we not place a premium on relationships in the body of Christ? And you know what? I'm going to say that this tribe is not like that. You guys are awesome. You guys get it. And there's so much connection going on in our tribe that it just blows my mind. And I'm just so blessed to see how we're growing in this. But I don't have to tell you that what we're experiencing is not the norm in most places. In most places, people come and they kind of sit in their, you know, their spot or their pew, you know, and they maybe greet people as they're coming in or going out. But beyond that, it's like you might as well not even know each other. You know what I'm saying? There's nothing happening outside of those perfunctory, you know, civil hellos and goodbyes, right? So what we're talking about tonight is taking the connections that we have and becoming even more intentional about them. Bringing them up to another level, you know, of skill, right? Some of you know that, you know, I'm a credentialed life coach. And so a lot of what I've been trained in is helping people to figure out where they're going in life and how to get there. I love doing that. And in the process of that, we discover many times that people have connections that they're absolutely not taking advantage of in their life. Connections that God's given you for the purpose of advancing you. Now, we also know that there's connections in your life that are going to hold you back. Right? And so those are the ones that you've got to look at and go,
I think I need to pull the plug on that over there.
Because that's not working, right? You know the people who don't get you, who don't believe in you, who think that what you're trying to do is crazy, right? Come on, you all know people like that, right? And if you give them too much influence in your life, they'll absolutely cut you and keep you from moving forward. So we're not going to have that, right? So how do we actually start to create strong relationships? I found this, you know, I don't mind stealing people's stuff. You know that, right? I give credit where credit's due. And so I need some help to pass this out tonight. This is stuff that comes from Danny Silk, who is one of the most amazing guys when it comes to, you know, teaching about relationships and about love and about how to do things interpersonally. And he came up with a lot of this stuff from his book called Keep Your Love On. Anybody hear that one?
Yes.
Keep Your Love On. Excellent, excellent book. You know, I recommend that if you haven't read it, go ahead and do it, because there's just so much good stuff there. And so, you know, the first thing on this page you're going to see is some declarations. And for a lot of us, declarations are like, you know, a steak dinner. Okay. Am I the only one in the house that likes a good steak? Thank you. Listen, I'm a carnivore and proud of it, all right? You know, I know that offends some of the vegans and whatnot, but guess what? You got to love me. just because I like my red meat. All right, you gotta love me. So these declarations are actually designed to help you shift your thinking into a place where you will desire and go for the kind of relationships that you need to have in your life. So nothing can separate me from God's love, so I'm able to love at all times through Christ who strengthens me. I'm filled with Holy Spirit, and by His power, I can control myself no matter what others believe, say, or do. Some of you need to say that every day for the next month, right? Because you are absolutely being controlled by what others say, right? What they believe, what they do. That you give power to people, right? That's something that's got to stop. My goal is to increase connection, not distance. I speak honestly about what I feel and what I need. That's tough for some folks, right? I read an article today that was very good about assertiveness and how most folks don't want to be assertive. They're content to be passive, or they're content to be very, very aggressive, which is not being assertive, or they're passive-aggressive, right? We'll talk about that some other time, but fascinating article, right? I don't tell others what they should do or try to make them do what I want. Oh! Anybody guilty of that? Come on, we got to be real here. You know? How many of you... I won't ask you for your hands raised, all right? but we have a tendency to want to tell other people what we think they should do.
Yep.
And try to help them with that, right? It's like, let me help you with that, okay? Make you do what I want. You know, the Lord spoke to me the other day something very powerful, which I've kind of known in more of a nebulous form for quite a while, but I love when He kind of summarizes a concept into an easy statement. And what it is simply this. I refuse to talk about anything that He's not talking about. That was like, whoa, that's good, thank you. Because I have a value in my life that I really pray you guys would grab onto as well. When God's not talking about something to somebody and you try to talk to them about it, all you're doing is placing condemnation on them. You're judging them. Because God's not talking to them about that. And I don't have the right to come into somebody's life and say,
well, you know, brother, I really think that you ought to think about that. Because that's sin right there.
Now, obviously, the Bible says that when we see someone in sin, we should go. But how should we go? Humbly and with a heart for restoration. So what does that mean? That means I'm going to come into somebody's life and I'm going to say to the Lord, okay, what are you saying to them about this situation? Because I don't want to say what I think. I want to know what you think. Because whatever He thinks about their situation, it's good, right? It has a future and there's power in it. So that's what I want to come into agreement with. Not my personal opinion about their mess. Some of you need to go, oh me, instead of amen. I mean, seriously, right? This is what we deal with as humans. So I didn't mean to get off on that, but I just felt I needed to. So I listen well to what others are feeling and what they need so I can understand them better. Awesome. I do not disrespect others by accusing them and telling them what they're doing wrong. Same thing, right? These declarations, if you grab this and make this part of your personal development stuff, right? It's going to revolutionize the way you relate to people and how you connect with the people that God wants to connect you with. These principles are also awesome. The goal of every conversation is not agreement. How about that? But rather to understand one another. You know, as Christians, we have a real difficult time when people don't agree with us, especially when it centers on theology. Have you noticed that? What? You don't believe that when you get baptized in the Holy Spirit, you have to speak in tongues? And the list goes on and on and on. I mean, whatever your pet, you know, beliefs and theology is, someone's going to disagree with that. And so the question comes, well, okay, oh, you don't agree with me. Oh, I don't know if I can fellowship with you anymore. This is what happens. Why do you think we have like 5 billion denominations? out there is because this is the truth and this alone.
And we're going to stake our...
I could go on, but that's not necessary. So you understand that this is what we do as Christians unless we make a choice not to. All right? You know, somebody tell me, what's the only thing that we need to agree on?
Jesus.
Exactly. If you know that Jesus is the Son of God, that He died for you and rose again, I can fellowship with you. You may have, like, a bunch of wacky beliefs outside of that. But how do I know? Maybe I got some wacky beliefs that I haven't been enlightened to, right? So let's make sure we understand that, right? My thoughts, feelings, and needs are valuable and important, and so are yours. Okay? So many times when we talk to people, it's only ever about me and about my needs and about what's important to me. It's a two-way street here, right? Relationships are a two-way street. I do not participate in disrespectful conversations. Ooh. Come on, have you ever walked away from a conversation where you were being disrespected?
Yes.
Well, Patty, you're the exception.
I'm not a flight, I'm a fight.
What's that?
I'm not a flight, I'm a fight.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, there's times when you have to be that abrupt with somebody and say, look, you know, I don't know what's going on with you, but you know, until you want to talk with me in a respectful way, you know, I can't really continue to talk with you. And that's okay. It really is. Because it communicates to that person that you recognize your own value and you recognize that they're better than that and they need to think about what they're doing. Does that make sense? Right? We must communicate our true feelings and needs in order to establish trust and intimacy. So true. I like this next one. It's my job to tell you what's going on inside of me and your job to tell me what's going on in you. I will not make assumptions about what you're thinking, feeling, or needing. It's a big one, guys. You know, we make assumptions all the time about what is going on in somebody else's head. You know, about their motivation, about what, why they're doing what they're doing. Isn't that true? We make these assumptions. And we've got to stop doing that if we're going to have great relationships. Again, I'm not saying you guys are doing that, but these are principles that are so helpful to understand and implement wherever they're needed in our lives, right? And the next one's the same thing. I won't expect you to know my thoughts, feelings, and needs unless I've communicated that to you, right? Like, I can't expect you to read my mind. You ever have that thing? You know, people, you know, you people are talking and stuff like that, and there's anger there. It's like, oh, you should have known that. Well, I can't read your mind because you never told me. Right? It happens a lot. I will not make judgment statements or tell you how you must change to meet my needs. When you communicate your needs to me, it's my job to listen well so I can understand what you need, how my life is affecting you, and what I can do to meet your needs. Great stuff. Oh my gosh. I'm committed to nurturing and protecting our connection. I will do what I need to do in order to keep moving toward you no matter what. This was one of the most revolutionary things that I ever heard Danny talk about, is the idea that when there's tension, when there's strife, when there's disagreement in a relationship, that I actually have the ability to choose to move towards you in that, and not allow that situation to create distance and separation.
Amen.
I mean, I was like, whoa, it seems so like duh, but I had never thought of that before. Very powerful. It's my job to manage my heart so that I can respond to you in love and remove fear from our relationship. It's a pretty powerful stuff, isn't it? And so I feel like what the Lord is really inviting us into as a family, right, is just learning how to take what we're already doing well, even greater, even higher. I'm just so amazed and blessed and thankful to God with what I see going on in this family, how we are loving each other, supporting each other, you know, sharing with each other, And I want to share some very specific things with you in the weeks ahead about how to, again, to make that even more effective, more intentional. Because I'll say, it's like what I see the Lord wanting to do through us is so powerful that it's like he's laying this foundation that is totally unshakable. And it's a foundation that is what? It's his love. It's his love. And it's not just this nebulous concept and this, you know, little goosebumpy feeling, you know, oh, I feel the love of God. Yeah, I mean, yes, we do, but there's more to it than that. It's actually the rubber hitting the road and how do you actually live that out? You know, what does it look like? And that's what we're really going to be talking more about in the days ahead. Something's moving, something's changing.